So this morning, I would like to say a few words about mindfulness of emotions. Emotions are at times in very important parts of our lives, and they can be included as part of the field of mindfulness. One of the great delights, and one of the reasons why mindfulness is so liberating, is that our entire experience of being alive, being human being, can be included in the field of mindfulness. I remember for the first time when I really understood this, I understood that if I could be mindful of something clearly, relaxedly, openly, aware of what was, what is, that I could, in theory, be free. And when I realized that I could include everything that occurs within that field of awareness, I became very happy. Nothing needs to be outside. It means you don't have to turn away from anything or make anything go away, or nothing needs to be any different than how it is. All that needs to change is how we see it, how we relate to it. There's something very profound about our capacity to be aware, and in that capacity we can find freedom. And our emotional life is an important part of our life. And it's best when we do mindfulness practice not to have any preferences about what our emotions are. Not to have policies about what emotions are acceptable and not acceptable, what emotions are right and wrong. There is no need for that in the field of awareness. It's possible to be aware, and in that awareness to be free, not caught and pushed around by the emotion. But so it's, in some ways, mindfulness is very permissive, but not indulging. Permissive, but not succumbing. Permissive, but not reactive. So I'll include in the guided meditation today some instructions about mindfulness of emotions. But as we settle in this guided meditation, I'd like to ask you to experiment with each step of the guided meditation, to experiment with using your awareness in a calm, relaxed way. I'll direct your attention to different parts of your experience. Experiment with calmly and deliberately including that part of your experience into awareness. This idea of being calmly and deliberate. And of course, you might not be so calm or so deliberate in it. And in that, but then you might notice and see the subtle voices or ideas you have about what's happening. You might believe that what's happening to you is wrong or right. You might believe that the grass is green on the other side of the fence somewhere else. You might have this idea that there's something better waiting for you. Or like me, you might have the belief that no matter what's happening to you, it can't possibly be the right thing. Or that things have to be gotten rid of. So as you're sitting here with a calm awareness, calm and deliberate, bring your awareness into your body. Spend a few moments roaming around in your body, feeling what your body is like now. Not in a hurry, but also not hesitant. Just a relaxed way, feeling your body. You might come across pleasant or unpleasant sensations in your body. Keep going with the experiment to see if you can be equally calm and deliberate, moving through one to the other. And then with this awareness of your body, see if you can gently let your spine be a little bit more alert, be a little more upright, not straining, but more in a confident posture, a little bit. And then calmly bring your awareness to your breathing and take a few long, slow, deep breaths. As you breathe in deeply, feeling the connection to your body more fully. And as you exhale, relaxing your body, relaxing your shoulders, your face, softening the belly, and then letting your breathing return to normal. Taking a few moments again to feel your body, the experience your body has of itself. And then with whatever calm and deliberate attention you can, become aware of how you're feeling. What emotion or mood or mental state is present for you? I'll name some possibilities of what you might feel. You might feel calm, or you might feel agitated. Maybe peaceful and safe, or anxious. Contented or impatient, irritated, aversive, version or receptive and open, happy or sad, confident or doubtful, confused. Notice how you're feeling, even if it's very vague and you can't put any word to what it is. See if you can calmly become aware of it, allowing yourself to be this way. See, experiment with not having it be a problem, only something to hold in awareness. Calmly, you might try naming or labeling the experience. Sad, happy, dull, clear. And in that naming or noting of it, see if you can a little bit better let it be. Not identify with it, or a little bit better not make it a problem. Just something to recognize. Whether what you're feeling is subtle or strong, how you are, drop into your body and become aware of where in your body does this emotional state or mood most clearly show itself. What part of your body is activated or energized by how you're feeling? It might be in the head area. It might be in the belly or the chest or the hands or the arms. Anywhere, might be anywhere. Or if it feels like it's everywhere, where's the center of gravity for it, your body? And then calmly, experimenting with being calm, at ease, practice mindfulness of the body and that area of your body where the emotion is most centered. Feeling the sensations, the energy that seems to be associated with that emotion or mood that you have. Allowing the sensations to be just as they are, your task is to know them. Just to know how it is. And as you know them, you might be aware of shifts and changes in the sensations. Maybe even in the emotion. perhaps your emotional state or mood or feelings change from one to another as you're present for them. That can be known as well. So when an emotion is predominant, you can experiment with calmly knowing that it's there. Seeing if the awareness can be very simple, but clear, clearly knowing. You can experiment with feeling the emotion in the body. You could try noting the emotion using a label. And finally, you might also notice how you're relating to the presence of the emotion. What's your attitude about it being there? It can be as simple as knowing whether your attitude is for or against the presence of the emotion. Or it might be more complicated, you might be moving into and holding on to the emotion. If it's pleasant, or you might be alarmed if it's unpleasant. You might be afraid of fear, or you might be attached to joy, well-being. By keeping the idea of being of calm awareness, you don't have to have calm awareness, but the idea of it might help highlight for you how you are relating to the presence of the emotion. No way that you are is wrong. It's just something else to know and be aware of. And in that clear knowing and clear awareness, perhaps you'll get a sense that there is a kind of freedom in the knowing. A kind of compassion in the knowing. And if no emotion is compelling or pulls your attention to it, you could be perhaps content to return to your breathing. To allow the inhalations and exhalations to be your companion for the meditation. So one of the basic ways of practicing mindfulness is to have a home base, a place that is your home, maybe, sometimes called the anchor to the present moment, that is the default, the place you go and develop your mindfulness, your concentration, your steadiness, your clarity. And often that can be the breathing. Stay with the breath, as long as that goes along pretty well. But then if something else occurs that's more compelling than breathing, you could let go of the breath, focus on the breath, and bring in to focus that compelling experience. So if it's strong sensations in the body, you would calmly and deliberately kind of be present for that until it's no longer compelling or it's gone away, and then you can go back to the breathing. Same thing with emotions. If there's a strong emotion or a mood that seems compelling, and there's maybe even a struggle between staying with the breath and the force of the emotion or mood, you can just let go of focusing on the breathing and experiment with being calm and deliberate to switch your attention to attend to the emotion or the mood or the mental state as it is. And feel it, be aware of it. Some people find it very helpful with emotions to use the mental noting. And this movement that Adrienne talked about yesterday, she talked about being free from her fear, but not free of her fear. The fear was still there, but she was free from it. The mental noting, some people find, helps with that movement. It helps kind of like you step back or not so entangled. You clearly recognize, name the experience. And that might be enough to kind of settle it so no longer compelling, and then you can go back to the breathing if you'd like. Or you could also feel it more fully in your body. All emotions will have some kind of corollary manifestation in the body. So you can go and find, where is that? Fear might be in the shoulders, the chest, or the belly, or many places. Anger might be fire in the belly, and contentment and happiness might be in the cheeks, or in the rib cage, or in the heart. Confidence might be in the whole torso, and feeling strength there, maybe. There are many ways to experience these things. And it might not be super clear, both what the emotion is, or what the physical experiences is, but it's good enough to just know it. If it's vague, just know it vaguely. It doesn't have to be clear. it just be aware of it how it is, but then be present for it. And you could even say to yourself, the mental note, vague. I've used the mental note, something. Something's happening here, and you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Franz, though? is this something? Another note that I've used this has been my most broadest category note that seems to be all-inclusive at certain times, is my note has been chaos. It's the best I could do. And then I would just note what that feeling of just kind of chaos was. And then, where is that feeling of chaos? No, it's not in my little toe. No, it's not in my kneecap. Well, actually, it turns out it's mostly feeling all over my torso. It's not going at 1,000 miles an hour. It's more like 100 miles an hour. Just the feelings and the movements and all that. And just to feel and sense what's going on. And then it's no longer chaos. It's just that something starts standing out in the middle of it. So noting can be helpful, but the trick with noting is to make the note very calm and soft. And then the other is to really feel it in your body. And the body is a great resource. It's a great holder of our emotional life, Because one of the advantages of feeling it in your body is that you can really be present for something sometimes when you're in the body without being pulled into the story. And one of the reasons emotions will persist over time, sometimes persist, is because we're telling ourselves conscious or unconscious stories about it. And so it reinforces it and reinforces it. And there's a whole different relationship to emotions if we're not telling ourselves stories. And one of the things that I've learned through this practice is that I've learned to have a very profound, gratifying trust of mindfulness, of awareness. If I can hold things in awareness, hold things there in a non-reactive way, especially if I can help feel it in the body, that things begin to move, unfold in the ways that they're supposed to unfold. I can trust that unfolding, trust that movement. And it doesn't always unfold initially the way I hope it would go. Sometimes anger has to become rage. And that's but I learned to trust the movement and just feel it and stay present. And as we do this, it can be helpful to know what your relationship, your attitude towards it is. Because that's sometimes the attitude we have about an emotion is a big part of the experience. So for example, resentment is anger that is frozen. We hold it tight, clamp down on it. So frozen anger. Giddiness could be joy where there's pressure behind it. We have this pressure and a certain kind of attachment or involvement with it. Despair might be constrained sadness. And, you know, some of these emotions actually have, are part of what they are, the way we hold them and relate to them. And as we become aware, slowly we can learn just to open up and let the emotion be there more in an open, allowing way. And all emotions will move and change. I think that's why we have the word motion in the word emotion. They're in motion. And the word E, apparently in Latin, means to move out. So they're all moving out. They're all transformed if we can get out of their way and allow them. So this idea of getting out of the way by being mindful is very, very interesting, very powerful. Some people find that coming into the body and feeling in the body is a refuge that helps make the whole thing safer. Just feel what's there. And so they come back and be grounded in the body. So those are if you find these kind of ideas useful, if you could expand today and include this as part of your mindfulness practice, breath, body, feeling tones, and emotions, with the idea that slowly we're expanding to come to include our full human experience in the field of mindfulness, nothing left out. Are there any questions about that or anything else you'd like to ask? So does it work the other way, meaning that if there's pain, is there an emotion behind the pain? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's very interesting to notice the emotion related to it. Sometimes the emotion related to it is reactive. So there's a pain first, and then we have a very strong reaction to it. And that might have an emotional quality to it. And so you can, and sometimes, like for example, there might be pain, and the pain is the pain, but then there's fear about the pain. And some people find it can be helpful to back up and just be aware of the fear, because if they keep focusing on the pain, the fear kind of works off stage, backstage, to kind of influence the conditions. But if so, that could happen. But also there could be fear first, and that manifests in the tight shoulders. And then after a while, the shoulders start hurting. And so that pain has its maybe genesis in the emotion. And if you stay there feeling that pain, maybe as it starts to relax in the shoulders, maybe then you start noticing, oh, there's anxiety kind of in those shoulders. And you start noticing that. So it's fascinating to discover the cause and effect relationship. Sometimes the body is first, and not just with pain, also with thoughts. Sometimes there's a bodily experience first, and then a mental or emotional or inner experience that arises in the wake of that. Sometimes there's a mental or emotional or inner kind of experience that arises first, and then the physical experience follows. And to see that kind of cause and effect is considered in this mindfulness tradition, the Vipassana tradition, to be a part of the wisdom that starts revealing itself in its own time. Is that reply? What you had in mind? Thank you.
And I notice kind of the subtle tension, and then more of that, but then there's a little bit of tension around that too.
Infinite regress.
Sort of. It's a little, just a slight bit of, and then I get kind of exhausted.
So after being aware of the sensations around the motions, she starts seeing a subtle aversion to all the sensations, all the emotions there. And then after a while, she knows the aversion, and then there's a tension involved with that as well. And then there's tension to the tension. And
that's really the predominant experience. So if I go back to the breathing or whatever, I still notice that slight
tension. Great. I think that's nice noticing. It's great. Thank you for sharing. I think it's interesting, it might be that there's on top of all that, there's a subtle feeling that there's a problem, or not so subtle. There shouldn't be here. It should be different. And sometimes the way the practice unfolds, it seems, like it's not going to change. It's impossible. It's just this goes on and on. It's this way. And without a lot of patience, this path doesn't open up. And one of the things that I've done, little delusions that I've operated under in my practice, is when something is happening that's unpleasant, I'm a little bit like the cat at the mouse door. I'm just waiting to see it go away. I'm not necessarily trying to make it go away, but I'm expecting it go away. Is it gone yet? And then after many times where I was doing this, and then the bell would ring, and I'd go do my walking meditation or whatever's next, and then I'd come back and sit down, and it was gone. But I didn't see it go. Where did it go? What happened? So enough times of seeing this over and over again, I'm sometimes a slow learner, so eventually after, 100 times or something, I got it. Oh, maybe I'm not going to see how it goes away. I just had, my job is just to be patient and allow for it and be present, and it'll take care of itself. And sometimes I could see it, fade away or do something different, but sometimes I wouldn't. And every experience we have is a whetstone for sharpening mindfulness. So even unpleasant experiences are not a problem for developing mindfulness, it's just another whetstone. Just going to be mindful of it, keep strengthening and sharpening the sword of mindfulness or investigation. So we do have to stop so we can start our practice discussion on time. This evening, at the 7:45 sitting, Adrian will do a guided loving kindness again. And then, especially for those who have not been coming to the last sitting, Oren leads a beautiful chanting at the very end, just for a couple of minutes. And tonight, we thought that Oren not only would lead the chanting, but also he can do the final little words of good night and maybe a teeny teaching before you go to bed. So I think that's the announcements for today. And I hope you enjoy your day. Thank you.